Father God, as we open your word and as you speak to us this morning specifically about your word, we pray that you soften our hearts and open our eyes that we might receive the truths that you have for us today, that you might give us great confidence in your word, so that every day, regardless of what we face, whatever circumstances that come into our lives, we will know that your word is capable of directing and guiding and giving us wisdom and grace and peace, showing us the answers for life, that it is capable of bringing us to your throne, teaching us about who you are, your love, your goodness, your greatness, your awe, your holiness, your righteousness. It is sufficient for teaching us about who we are in our hearts and how we are to conduct ourselves towards one another, how we are to worship you, how to have a right relationship with you, just over and over and over again, the things that the Bible, that your scripture, your word does in our lives and for our lives. And we pray today that as we lift it up, we would also lift up the Lord Jesus and in turn glorify you in all that we do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we started a four-week series entitled Who Are We Faith Family? We do this every year. It is a series that allows us and helps us make sure that we are in line with our mission, vision, culture, and values. And so this year we're looking at our four core values of faith family, those non-negotiables that we hold to. And so last week we looked at the first core value, which is worship. Today I want us to look at our second core value, which is scripture. Now the Word of God has been a point of contention in the life of man from the very beginning. At creation, the serpent is tempting the woman to doubt what God's word said. As a matter of fact, the very first words out of the serpent's mouth is, "Did God really say?" And still today, in our postmodern society, God's word is being challenged. Can we know truth? Is there really such thing as truth? What makes the biblical truth claims of the Bible more truthful than my own truth claims? And so the reliability of the Word of God is being undermined. Satan may have changed the package, but the poison is the same. He wants us to doubt God's Word and in turn doubt God. And so this morning I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 13. If you will turn there with me in your copy of God's Word, if you do not have your Bible this morning, you may already have noticed this, but let me encourage you, underneath a seat somewhere near you, there will be a Bible, and you can follow along with us in Isaiah chapter 55. God, through the prophet Isaiah, has been indicting his people for their lack of trust, and he is proclaiming the judgment that is going to come because of it. However, Isaiah did not just pronounce condemnation and judgment. He also proclaimed the grace of God for his people, that God would save a remnant, that he would call them back to himself. And he wants his people to return to him, and so he is calling them to do so. Turn away from your idols, come back to me, and I will receive you and forgive you. And this is what we find in chapter 55. So follow along as I begin reading in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make the name and make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God encourages his people to return to him by assuring them that he can be trusted. In verses 8 and 9, he says, "You may not understand my ways, but you can trust them because they are higher than your ways." In verses 10 through 11, he says, "You can trust my word." And in verses 12 and 13, he assures them that they can trust his will. His purposes for them are good and right. So this morning, we're going to be focusing in on verses 10 and 11. There, God compares his word to the rain and the snow that falls and accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. Drops of rain don't just come to the earth and then turn around and go right back up into the heavens. Ice crystals don't float down from the sky, land on the ground, and turn around and go back up into the clouds. They serve a purpose. They come down, they water, and they give life. And so they reflect God's word, that he sends it out, that it fulfills his purpose. And so we're going to look at these verses and find three reasons that we can trust God's word. Three reasons why you and I can trust God's word. First, we can trust God's word because it is true. God's word is true. Look again at verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty." God is clear that it is his word that goes forth from his mouth and that it is going to accomplish his will. What God declares can be trusted because he is the one who is declaring it. He wants Israel to know this is not Isaiah's word. This is not Isaiah's idea. He's not getting it from some other place, but this is my word being spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He is my mouthpiece, and so what he is saying is coming from me. Now, this argument does not work on anyone else. If I tell you, or you come to me and say, "Why should I believe what you say?" And I tell you, "Well, because I said it." Well, that doesn't work. That's a circular argument. However, when God, the one who is holy and righteous and perfect, who knows all things and is in control of all things, when he says, "You can trust my word because it's coming out of my mouth," then it makes sense. We see this in Isaiah 48, verse 3. God says, "The former things I declared of old, they went out from my mouth and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate and your neck is an iron sinew and your forehead brass. I declared them to you from of old. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you, lest you say, 'My idol did them, my carved image and my metal image commanded them.'" God prophesied about what was going to happen through Isaiah to Israel so that when it did happen, they would know that it was Yahweh who brought it about, not these false gods that they were worshiping. Only a perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign being can make that claim and it be true. This is why only God's word can be trusted as perfectly true, because he's God. And because he's God, what he says, he can bring about. He knows what's going to happen, and he knows what truth is. He brought all life into existence. He knows everything about life. So when God speaks, he speaks the truth. And that's why we believe Scripture to be true. Your Bible contains the very words of God. They are the words of God that he intended for us to have. They were given to us through many different authors over hundreds of years and thousands of years, but God guarded them by his power through the ages. And so what this means is that God's word is both infallible and inerrant. The Scripture is both unable to contain error, that's infallible, and therefore it is without error, that's inerrant. And it is this way because God, in his divine authority, demands it and ensures it. The veracity of this book, the veracity of Scripture, is totally dependent upon the veracity of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all Scripture is breathed out by God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Titus 1, 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Jesus, when praying to the Father on our behalf in John 17, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. All throughout Scripture, we see God telling us what he says in these writings can be trusted because a righteous, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign God spoke it and protected it, guaranteeing that what we have is his truth. Listen, if the Bible is not true, that makes God a liar. And therefore, nothing else after that matters. Eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die. So if you've ever been in a courtroom, you will notice that there is always someone who's typing during those proceedings. It is important that everything that is said in that courtroom is recorded accurately. And so there is a stenographer in every one of those cases. And they type out every word that the lawyers and the witnesses and the judge says. Now the stenographer does not alter the message. The stenographer takes down what the message is. And so it is recorded. And so if a lie is recorded, it is a lie and it doesn't change when it's read back. If it is a truth, it is recorded as a truth. The very words are recorded. It's a truth when it is read back, whether it's read back tomorrow or 10 years from now when they look back at that case. The biblical writers were a bit like stenographers. They recorded all the events and all the words that God intended for them to record. And God, through his Holy Spirit, made sure that they recorded all of this without error. All the good and the bad and the ugly of history that God wanted us to know about is contained in this book. And so when we open this book, or we read it, or we hear it read to us, it is the very word of God. Therefore, it is truth, and therefore, it can be trusted. And that means it is authoritative in your life. In other words, obeying the word of God is not optional for the believer. It's the final word in all things. It is the measure of all truth. It is the standard by which all of your life should be measured and cut. To deny or disobey the word of God is to deny or disobey God himself. We submit ourselves to the governing authorities of this nation. However, their authority does not take priority in our lives. God's word takes priority. He is our ultimate authority, and we will obey him when his clear commands are in direct conflict with the governing authorities. Now, everybody usually at this point is going, yes, that's right. When God's word says it, I'm not going to do what the government says. Here's what we miss. The fact that God's word also says, obey your governing authorities. So what that means is if it's authoritative in your life, then unless they're telling you to do something that is in direct contradiction with God's word, then his word for you, his authority says, obey that authority that I have placed over you. Why? Because that's what he commands us. And that should be how it is in all of your life. God's authority, and therefore God's word, takes precedence. And so this also applies to your personal preferences and opinions. You may not like what God's word says. You may not agree with what God's word says. Listen, you may not get your way if you obey God's word. However, his word is truth. It carries his authority. And so as a believer, you set your own opinions and preferences aside and you submit to his word. We value the scripture because it is the authoritative truth that guides us in all of life. But there's a second reason found in these verses that we can trust God's word. Number two, We can trust God's word because it is sufficient. We can trust God's word because it is sufficient. Again, back in verse 11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God says, just as the rain and the snow are sent from heaven and accomplish their ultimate purpose in providing seed and providing food, so my word will accomplish what I intended for it to accomplish. When we talk about the sufficiency of Scripture, we're talking about its power, its ableness, its ability. The sufficiency of Scripture means we believe the words of God given to us in the Bible, that they are adequate and do not need outside help in order to accomplish their intended purpose. They are sufficient in and of themselves to do what God sent them to do. Another way to think of this might be that God's word is effective in all its intent. It is effective in all its intent. So, the Scripture does not need help from science or psychology or mathematics in order to fill God's intended purpose. It does not need my explanation, it doesn't need your experience, and it doesn't need your neighbor's additional comments or thoughts to accomplish its goal. Scripture is not dependent upon higher education or philosophical acumen or some outside power to complete its intended work. Now, it may work in conjunction with all of these or some of these, but it's not dependent upon them in any way. It is solely in and of itself able to do what God sent it to us to do. Listen to Psalm 19, beginning of verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The Scripture restores the soul, makes the simple-minded wise, brings joy to the heart, enlightens the eyes of the heart. It sanctifies life. It is sufficient to show how to have a relationship with God and to transform our soul and in turn our lives. Further, it endures forever. In other words, it never stops being able to accomplish its purpose. It was sufficient to do these things when David wrote this psalm, and it is still sufficient to accomplish those things today for us. But Scripture is also able to train us to live righteously. Look at 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The word profitable means the word of God is useful, it's beneficial, it's successful in all things. And ultimately, the teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness equips us for every good work. Notice Paul doesn't give Timothy extras. He doesn't say it's Scripture and experience, Timothy. It's Scripture and these other programs. It's Scripture and this other person out here, this philosopher that you need to listen to. He says the Scripture alone is able to do what is necessary for you to be trained and equipped for every good work. We opened a checking account for one of our daughters, who I will not name. And because of her age at that time and the lack of attention to detail in her life, we decided that it would be a smart thing to do to attach her savings account to her checking account. And that would give her overdraft protection. And so it wasn't too long before we began to get notices in the mail from the bank with her name on them. And like once or twice a month on a regular basis, these things were showing up. And they would always say the same thing. Your account had insufficient funds, and therefore we had to withdraw this amount from your savings account to cover the deficit. And of course, every one of those insufficient funds withdrawals had a charge that went along with it. But we have all been there. You go to the mailbox and you get that letter and you open it up. Why did I get something from my bank? And there it says, overdraft, insufficient funds. You wrote a check or you made a swipe on your debit card because you thought there were sufficient funds in there, but you actually overdrew because there were insufficient funds. Listen, the sufficiency of God's word means there is no need for overdraft protection. It means you never have to go to another account to make up for some deficit. You can withdraw infinitely from the truths of Scripture and they will never be exhausted. You can go to this book every day, every hour, and withdraw the truths of God and they will never be exhausted. And it also means you do not need to go to other outside sources. God, who is all-knowing and all-wise, has ensured the Bible is sufficient to accomplish the purpose for which He intended. As you continue to withdraw from this book, there's never a time where you can take these truths and must or have to go to some other source and say, well, I need to see if this really is true, or I need to see if this really is applicable to my life. Is it sufficient for what I need? This book has truths that you cannot exhaust, and they are the truths that you need for your life. The Bible is sufficient. Now, this does not mean that the Bible itself is exhaustive in all truth. There is no verse or book in the Bible that addresses everything there is to know about everything there is to know. The Bible is not going to give you instructions on how to bake a cake or how to change your oil. However, that's never what God intended for it to do. But the fact that God doesn't speak to everything tells us that we should pay close attention to what He has put in here. Because God chose to put specific things, not everything, but what He did choose to put in here is important because what He's saying is, these are the things that are most important that I want you to know. Loving God has spoken to us about what He knows is to be or is our greatest need. Listen to this quote. Scripture is sufficient to convey the main concerns of God regarding the human experience, and these serve as the authoritative framework by which we interpret all information on that subject. God did not give us everything about everything, but what He did give to us, that is the authority on that subject. And the things that He did give to us are the important things in life. So sufficiency does not mean that other resources can't be good or that they can't be helpful or even necessary sometimes for us to have a better understanding of what this is saying. But that is a deficiency in our ability, not God's word. However, what we do want to do when we go to those other sources is make sure that we're using other sources that support and point us to the truths of Scripture. Nothing is given first place over Scripture. Nothing is given equal weight to Scripture. It is able, in and of itself, to accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish in your life. And that leads us to our last point. Number three, we can trust God's word not only because it is true and because it is sufficient, but because it is relevant. We can trust God's word because it is relevant. Listen, the rain that comes down is valuable because it accomplishes something that is needed. It waters the plants that grow and produce fruit. In this case, we're thinking grain, because the grain serves both as seed for future crops as well as the main ingredient in bread. And so he talks about seed and he talks about food. And so it's probably grain is what they're thinking about. And so if the rain does not fall, then the grain isn't produced. So the rain and the snow are highly relevant to the grain because they provide what the grain needs for life. This means the rain and the snow are highly relevant for man because the grain provides life for man. It provides food, sustenance. And so in the same way, God's word is relevant for us. It is not just sufficient to accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. It accomplishes that which is most needed by us, by mankind. It gives and sustains life. And so God is saying that you can trust my word because it is the truth that is sufficient to give you the life that you so desperately need. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, "My grace and my peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." All right, so let's just pause there for a second. Where do we gain the knowledge of God and Jesus that will multiply grace and peace in our lives? Where do you gain that knowledge of Jesus and God? In the scripture, right? We know about God because he has revealed himself here. Okay, let's keep reading. His, meaning Christ's, divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Again, where do we get the knowledge of him who called us? In the scriptures. He revealed himself. So the knowledge of God and Jesus found in the Bible multiplies grace and peace in our lives and grants us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The word pertains means appropriate, related to, or applicable to. In other words, the scripture is sufficient for all things relating to life and godliness. Now don't miss what Peter says. Scripture gives everything you need to know about life and godliness. God intends for us to know through this word of his all things about true life, what true life is, and living it in a way that glorifies him. Now for some, that's not really important. I mean, who cares if I know about God, or who cares if I know about the way that he wants me to live a life that's abundant? And so that's why they disregard this. But for those who really want to know what true life is, you have to go to the one who gives life and sustains it. To the one who wants to know about how to live this life in the way that glorifies God, and that is a concern of your heart, then you have to go to what God says about that. God defines what true life is. And God tells us in his word that true life is a life lived in godliness or God-likeness. In other words, a life lived in obedience to his commands. And Jesus, who is described as the word of God in John 1, says in John 10, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." If you want to know true life and you want it in abundance, it's found right here in the scriptures. And the scriptures point you to the word, Jesus Christ. I'm sure most of you, like me, are pretty much done with COVID. Not like literally done, because you can't, right? But you're like fed up with done with COVID. Masks, no masks. Will they work? Actually, they don't work. Vaccine or no vaccine? You need 3 boosters. No, actually you need 4 boosters. Quarantine for 10 days. Actually, quarantine for 5 days. But really, it all depends on the month of your second cousin birth date, unless it's on your mom's side, right? I mean, what am I supposed to do now? Nobody knows, right? And wouldn't it be great if they just came out or could come out with a pill, right, that was 100% effective in treating COVID? Man, you tested positive for COVID, you take the pill 12 hours, it's over, get on with life. We wouldn't need shots, we wouldn't need boosters, we wouldn't need masks, we wouldn't need to separate, we wouldn't need to close down, none of that, all gone. That pill would be sufficient to cure us of the virus. However, if one day you started feeling not so good, you went to the doctor and the doctor tells you, you know what, you have a bacterial infection. You have a need, you need to get rid of this infection. Well, then that COVID pill is not going to be relevant in your life. Now, it doesn't matter if the science was 100% true. It doesn't matter if that pill didn't need any other medicine for it to be to completely cure COVID. You taking that pill would be irrelevant in your life. It wouldn't apply to your greatest need. Or you might actually have COVID, but you don't believe that you have COVID. You may deny you have COVID. And so you're thinking the COVID pill isn't irrelevant in my life because I don't have COVID. Yet it is exactly what you need because you do have COVID. And because you thought it to be irrelevant, you don't take it. It's what you need, but you don't think you need it, and so you disregard it. Listen, if the Bible is 100% true, and it is fully sufficient to do what God intended for it to accomplish, but it is not relevant for your life, then it really does you no good. Or if you think it's not relevant for your life, then it really does you no good because you disregard it. I think this is one of the reasons people discount the Word of God. They think, well, it's not relevant for where I am today in my life. Yeah, yes, I believe God wrote it and I believe God's speaking, but He's speaking about these spiritual things, these church things. It's not really relevant to where I am living. But nothing could be farther from the truth. The Bible is relevant for your life. Scripture is about life. It is about obtaining true life, living a joyful, purposeful, peace-filled, God-honoring life. One author says it this way: the Bible is addressed to the living about living. The Bible is addressed to the living about living. It has been given to us by God because it is exactly what we need. Whether you think so or admit it or want to admit it or whatever your reason for not thinking, it doesn't matter. God gave you in His Word exactly what you need for life. So earlier I said you won't find instructions on how to bake a cake or change your oil in the Bible. And that's because those things are not necessary for true life. Listen, you can go your whole life and be just fine without baking a cake. Actually, most of you will go your whole life and never change the oil in your car, and you will be just fine. However, every one of us will encounter times in our life where things do not go like we planned or we thought. Because they don't, our lives will get very messy. I mean messy like when the blender goes awry and it slings cake batter all over your new shirt and all over your freshly cleaned kitchen. I mean messy like when you forget to tighten the cap on your oil pan and 5 brand new quarts of oil come leaking out all over your garage as you go out on a Monday morning late for work ready to get into your car. Those are the times the Bible becomes very relevant. Where is God in those moments? Why does God allow these things to happen? What is God teaching me? What is God's expected response in these moments? And how can I respond in the way that He expects in order to glorify Him? For that matter, who is God? How can I know Him? How can I know my true self? How do you please God so you will spend eternity with Him? What is the purpose of my life? What is the meaning of all of life? How do I handle losing my husband or my dad? What about when you think your wife is cheating on you? What about when you get the pink slip? What about when the doctor says you have cancer? What about when your parents move and you have to leave your friends and you have to change schools? How do you experience true, meaningful, peaceful, joyful life in those moments? How do you overcome the anxiety of living in such a world full of chaos? How do you forgive someone who has hurt you deeply? How do you address abuse in your life or abuse in a neighbor's life? How do you love those that hate you? God has a word for all of these questions and more. Listen, do you want to have true life in your marriage? Go to the Scriptures and see what God says. Do you want to know what it is to be anxiety-free in your finances? Go to the Scriptures and discover God's instruction. Do you want to know how to have peace in your life in a way that you can't even understand or explain? Go to the Word of God. The Bible is not just some historical document written long ago about a people who worshiped a God. It is not another religious book that has no relevance to what you're facing today. It is the Word of God preserved for us so we might know the truths of life and apply them to every encounter, every circumstance, every moment of life, no matter how difficult or complicated or how unprecedented it may be. Again, I quote, "Not one part of life lived on earth falls outside of the comprehensive nature of the commands and promises given by God to direct us in those circumstances." The Bible is sufficient for anything and everything that you will face in life. It has a word for you. The Bible speaks to you about all of life with infallible truths that are sufficient to meet your every need. How can we be sure? Because the God who loves you dearly and knows your deepest needs more than even you do ensured that the Scriptures would do so. That was His intent. So, faith family, we value Scripture because they are the words of life and they are the words for all of life. It means we will do our best to choose materials that are true to the Word of God and point us to the sufficiency of the Word of God. It means we will counsel and train others to counsel and disciple with the Scriptures as our primary source. It means we will stand on the authority of Scripture without compromise. Finally, it means every ministry of faith family and every area of our lives should be saturated with both confidence and competence in the Word of God. We want to be saturated with confidence and competence in the Word of God. And so ask yourself this morning, am I competent? Am I confident in God's Word? Maybe this morning that you need to surrender to the authority of God's Word in your life. To confess that you have allowed other voices to have greater influence in your life and to repent of not trusting fully in what God says. Yes, this is what I'm reading on the pages, but this is not what I'm experiencing, and so I'm going to go with my experience. No. God's Word is the authoritative truth in my life, regardless of what my opinion or my experience says or what other voices say. Allow His Word to have full authority. And allowing His Word to have a full authority is to allow Him to have full authority. And when God is in control, life is abundant. Or maybe you lack competence in the Word of God. You know of the Word of God, but you do not have a deep understanding of its precepts and its truths. Listen, I think all of us this morning, including myself, could say, there is more that I can learn. There's more knowledge that I can gain. That's why Paul says, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has arrived. Nobody has gotten to the point where they say, okay, there is nothing else that I can learn about God or myself or about life in these pages. And so maybe you know very little. Then commit this morning during our time of response to begin to study God's Word. To just open it up and begin to read and see what it says about who God is and who you are and these things called relationships and how we are to live our life. Or maybe you need to join a small group. Some of you are attending, but you're not in a small group where you can discuss God's Word and ask questions and glean from the study of others. Listen, I promise if you do that, it will be a great benefit in your life. Whether it's a Bible study class on Sunday morning, or whether it's a life group during the week, or when we open up a women's Bible study, or whenever it is, getting in around a table, around God's Word, with a small group and saying, this is what it says, and this is what God has done in my life, and let me help you see what God's Word has for you. Or maybe you are a student of the Word, and this morning you would commit to continue in your study or even deepen your study in order to increase your competency. But it may be this morning that you've rejected the Bible and therefore you have rejected God. It may be that you have 4 or 5 or 6 of these at your house laying around, but you've never opened one of them to see what God has to say to you. Listen, hear me this morning. If you will hear God's word, He's telling you that even though you have rejected Him, He still loves you and He wants a relationship with you. His word is clear. He is the one true God who created you and who is sustaining your life this very moment. And because He is perfectly holy and righteous, your sin separates you from Him. It prevents you from having a relationship with the God that created you. However, He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to take the punishment that you and I deserved. When Jesus died on the cross, He was bearing the wrath that we should have received. And then 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the grave. He conquered both sin and death for you and for me so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life comes through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And if you will put your faith and trust in His death and resurrection, in His defeating death, conquering sin on your behalf, and you will ask Him to forgive you of your sins, then He will wipe away your sins and He will take His righteousness and give it to you. And you will be holy and righteous and therefore be able to have a relationship with God. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? As we go into our time of personal response, I want to invite you to do one of these things. Will you commit to become more competent in God's Word? Or maybe you need to do things that say and show, I am confident in God's Word. It may be that you read God's Word and that's fine, but there are other authorities that speak into your life over and above what God's Word says. It may be a podcast, a person that you listen to. It may be a grandmother or a grandfather or someone. Listen, there's nothing wrong with listening to podcasts or hearing from other people, but they cannot be the primary authority in your life. And when they speak something that is different from what God's Word says, or they change what God's Word says, then you have to ignore what they say and go with what God's Word says. Will you commit to that today? Or maybe this morning it is that you don't have a relationship with God. I'm going to ask Pastor Ryan to come. He's going to be standing here down front. If you want to give your life to Christ, and you say, I just have some questions. I don't even know what that means clearly. Or I know what that means, but I just want someone to pray with me. He's standing here for that reason. Will you come? Let him know you want to be saved. We have some men who have already come down. They're kneeling at the altar. I invite you to do that if you want to pray. Maybe this morning you just come to the altar and you just want to praise God for His Word in your life, for the work that it does. There is nothing wrong with that. This is a time of you responding to what God's truths has revealed in your heart, has encouraged you, rebuked. I don't know what it is. But you can do that right there in your seat, or you can come down to this altar, or you can come to Pastor Ryan. This is our time to say, God, we are responding to You. You take these moments and you respond to Him.